So my name is Mitri, I'm working for Linaro. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about the Linux Yocto, a fairly unused Linux kernel or Linux BSP for Yocto. About me, I've been working on both Open Embedded and Linux kernel and contributing them since 2007. Maybe some of you guys remember OpenZaurus. So I've been using OpenZaurus but not contributing to it, and started when it became Ångström. So in Linux kernel about 2,000 commits. And in Linaro, I'm a part of the Qualcomm ecosystem. We are working on the Qualcomm devices, and I'm maintaining the MetaQCOM, the upstream and the open source BSP for the Qualcomm devices. And this talk is based on our experience with the supporting or providing the kernels. Should I move somewhere? With providing the kernels for the MetaQCOM. So typical open embedded board support package, of course, it contains Linux kernel. Linux kernel recipe, yeah, custom. In each of the BSPs, you'll find their own recipe, their own way to do things. They have the source URI point into the Git tree. Yeah, sure. But sometimes this Git tree tracks the whole development history with all the tries, with all the attempts. Or sometimes it is just written for each major release. Or sometimes it's a mixture of both. So yeah, revert of the fix is not an imaginary thing. It is what I saw in one of the BSPs. Do you know how to track if the patch has been ever sent to upstream, or what's the status of that patch? No. Which version is it? Well, if you're lucky, it is a long-term support kernel, which you can up to the latest LTS release. But as I said, if you're lucky. And security updates, well, if you're extremely lucky. Kernel config. Yeah, there will be usually a diff config file, either in the layer itself or in the same Git tree. So any idea how to upgrade it? Yeah. Or how to add the how to enable the net filter or any other obscure option that the BSP vendor did not enable for you. Well, troublesome. And yeah, everybody does it this way, really. I think so. Well, I thought so. We tried to change this way for us. Linux Yocto. I knew about it for ages because it was the kernel that was used by OE Core, by the core layer for the Open Embedded for Yocto. It was used for the QEMU machines. It has been used for the some of the default BSPs. But why should I pay attention to it? I have my own kernel. Well, not quite. We found that it follows stable releases. It also follows the latest Linux release. It tracks the release kernels. It has a very powerful kernel configuration tool based on the fragments, based on the internal scripting language. And it is endorsed by the Yocto Project Capital Layer Program. And that's actually what made us to look into it. We thought about making MetaQCOM actually certified for Yocto Project Compatible Layer Program, and it is one of the recommendations. Sounds perfect. Now, all the stuff, all the def config, all the points from the previous slides have been pointed. Yeah. The problem was that nobody uses it. We are trying to do it. So some literally small how-to, yeah. This reminds me of one of the talks of reading the Emacs config, but yes, I will be reading the MetaQCOM configuration files. First of all, the recipe itself is in OE Core. We do not have to provide any additional details. We don't provide the Git repo. We don't provide anything. It just point the default is same. We just say, yeah, let's use the defaults. Let's enable it for our machine. QCOM RMv8 is our open embedded machine. And we will be using our path and the bonus stuff. There will be a lot of the files describing the configuration. There will be a lot of the files in the SSC format and in the CFG format that should describe different options for different machines. We just need to enable a single root file, and the kernel Yocto class will get all the files that are beneath that. So we don't have to list anything else in the source URI. If you need, you can add more of the configuration options. You can enable other features just by adding the another append in your distro or in your enablement layer. And that's it. You don't have to patch anything. You don't have to patch the devconfig in either of the layers. You don't have to create something that tracks, oh, that was the devconfig from that layer, and now the options changes. It also tracks stable, as I said. So we don't have to upgrade the versions. We don't have to upgrade anything when there is a new release from Greg or from this stable team. Oh. Sorry, one button. Patches. Of course, the BSP layer has patches, tons of patches, hundreds of patches. We have to list all of them. They come in a series, so yeah, this is just the first few lines. In our layer, there are currently 78. We are trying to limit them to some sane amount, but okay. And the bonus point, because this is a recipe from OE core, we have to track upstream status. So for each of the patches, there will be OE upstream status trailer that talks, yes, this patch has been submitted. We did not submit this patch yet. History is no longer rewritten in some obscure Git tree. There is all the history of the patches comes from the layer BSP. As the user, you can take a look at any point and find, okay, yeah, these patches have been enabled for this and that platform. And they have been changed this and that way. Oh, and when rebasing from 6.5 to 6.6, oh, they did this and that mistake, and I know how to fix it. So the whole history, the whole development is visible to the, well, is visible to the developers, is visible to the users of our layer. Config fragments. As I said, there is a powerful system of the config fragments. They have the SSC files that describe, okay, how it all binds together, and of course the CFG files, the parts of the actual configuration. And SSC, they provide a tree-like structure. They can include other SSC files, or they can include config files. So there is a huge set of default features that you can enable. You just pull files from the default from the default set that has been written for you by Richard, by Bruce Ashfield. Several downsides. There is no control over the exact kernel version. This is all done by Bruce Ashfield, by the maintainer of Linux Yocto, and when he upgrades to the next version, yeah, then it's his decision. Before this new year, he decided to let everybody stay calm, and so he delayed upgrading to 6.6 LTS for several weeks. And unless you know what's happening, this can cause some confusion. Yeah, so we had to ask, and oh, Bruce, what's happening? Sometimes Linux Yocto gets, as I said, it gets delayed. Sometimes there are additional patches. Well, in fact, as it is a BSP for several devices, it has additional patches, and you have to understand how that corresponds to your device. How this corresponds, or how this conflicts with your patches. And the most important thing, so previously you can easily have a set of developers working on just Git tree for your kernel. They do their job, they all do it all right. And they just tell you, okay, this is the Git commit that you should be pulling into your BSP layer. Yeah, okay. Now it is also responsibility of the maintainer of the corresponding layer to actually see what's going on, to work in close collaboration with the kernel developers. In our case, I'm working also as a reviewer for the patches being submitted by our developers and by Qualcomm developers, enabling the particular features, because yeah, sometimes they are good, sometimes they are not. So you can no longer just depend on being, oh, I'm Yocto developer or I'm open embedded developer. You have to be kernel developer too. And the last but not least, so what if we have several hundred of BSP patches? How do you track them? How do you actually manage them so that it does not become the mess? So we solved that by splitting them into the series, and so we actually are working with, as I said, with Qualcomm people. Just okay, you cannot say that yeah, these 100 patches are for to enable this platform. You have to say yeah, this is a feature. This is a 10 patches enabling this feature. These are 15 patches enabling another feature, and so splitting and tracking different patch sets separately. So links here, of course, there is the Linux Yocto itself repository, which has all the branches, all the patches, all the history from prehistoric times till the recent 6.6. Yocto kernel cache. That is what I told you when I said that you're pulling the config fragments from the upstream. This is the repository with all the configuration fragments, with all the configuration scripts that your layer will pull, that will combine into the final kernel configuration. Yeah, our unproud MetaQCOM, the upstream Qualcomm layer, please, if you are working on the for some reason Qualcomm Robotics or on Qualcomm Robotics platform, or if you're thinking about using the Yocto for your phone for some reason and it works, please take a look. This is the area that you might be interested. And yeah, of course, yeah. Linaro Services, we are Linaro developers, Linaro Development Services, and we now have an account on Mastodon. So please join the followers. And of course, we are hiring. So that's it. Yeah. Questions?
Hello. How does the feature set from your kernel compares to some internal the standard kernel Qualcomm provides? So I'm not working with Qualcomm, but I see often there are big differences between the vendor kernel with thousands of patches compared to what is upstream.
Yeah, so as I said, we are working for the Qualcomm upstream, or working on Qualcomm upstream enablement. So we are tracking what is going upstream, and we are developing, and so we are sending patches upstream. So yes, right now there is a talk, of there just have been talk about different Qualcomm kernels in another building. You might be interested in statistics. In our case, as I said, currently for this MetaQCOM for enabling platforms that have not been fully integrated upstream, we have about 80 patches. Our internal Git tree before we switched to the to Linux Yocto contained from 150 to 200 patches. One of the reasons for switchover and one of the points was that we were able to clean up that stuff. We were able to drop several, okay, I think it was about 20 patches just touching the devconfig in a different way. So everything now goes to the Yocto. We were able to drop several obscure patches that have been lingering for years. And to move those patches actually into upstream, send them to upstream, rework them, and drop them finally. So I don't know if that answers your question. This does not work for the downstream development, where you are a vendor with thousands of patches.